ocean of dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're gonna be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Dear listeners, previously, we mentioned that the Islamic sources have given utmost importance to praying for particular believers, and we have enormous instances of these traditions regarding praying for particular believers. We mentioned how we should pray for the believers in their absence, and how effective they are both in this world and in the other. Also, praying for 40 believers and also giving preference to the others in prayer were among the most important of them. Now, praying for parents is among the instances of doing good to the parents, which is birrul walidain. However, there are different ways of being good to them. Among them is that one should give charity, go to Hajj, and offer prayers on their behalf, and also pray for them. In this regard, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, "What prevents any one of you from doing good to his parents, whether they are alive or dead, by praying on their behalf, giving charity on behalf of them, going for Hajj on their behalf, and fasting on their behalf? Hence, he will have the like of what he has done for them, and Allah the Almighty, the Majestic, shall copiously increase for him in good because of his goodness and maintaining the relationship." رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. He عليه السلام has also said, "My father used to say, there are five prayers which are never veiled from Allah: the prayer of a just ruler, the prayer of an oppressed about whom Allah the Almighty the Majestic says, 'I will take revenge on your behalf, even if it is after some time,' the prayer of a righteous son for his parents, and the prayer of a righteous father for his son. The last is the prayer of a believer for his brother in his absence, about whom the angel says, 'And for you is the double of them.'" Among the prayers for the parents is a prayer which is appeared in Sahifatu Sajjadiyya. In there, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, "O Allah, bless Muhammad, his household, and his progeny, and single out my parents for the best which you have singled out for the fathers and mothers of your faithful servants. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, let me not forget to remember them after my ritual prayers, at every time throughout my night, and in each of the hours of my day." Then he alayhi salam continues, "O Allah, bless Muhammad and his household. Forgive me through my supplication for my parents. Forgive them through their devotion toward me with unfailing forgiveness. Be well pleased with them through my intercession for them with resolute good pleasure, and make them reach through your generosity the abodes of safety." You see how beautiful these prayers are for the parents.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedast. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala va past. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the merciful God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
Then he alayhi salam continues, "O Allah, if your forgiveness reaches them first, make them my intercessors. And if your forgiveness reaches me first, make me their intercessor. So that we may gather together through your gentleness in the house of your generosity and the place of your forgiveness and mercy." Dear listeners, this, as you can see, proves how important it is to pray for our parents. But this is not the only thing that has been recommended in our traditions. And as you can see, throughout the instances I have told you, it is interesting how Islam urges man to deny himself and give preference to the others in the life of this world, in matters related to one's life and also in dealing with others, as it also urges him to deny himself and give preference to others over himself in this prayer before Allah the Exalted. But this school of thought never says that he should forget about himself. He should not forget to pray for himself. So what should we ask for ourselves then? And how should we pray to the Almighty Allah? This is the question we will try and attempt to discuss in the later programs. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need لبيك اللهم لبيك
لبيك اللهم لبيك
لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك, لبيك
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله.
Call of Unity.
If you ask me why do I love you, no matter where you are, we are the greatest Umma with the beating of our hearts. We are Muslims. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There's no God but Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad al-Mustafa. Muhammad is his messenger.
Allah, there is no God but He. His are very best names, the compassionate, the merciful. May peace and blessing upon Muhammad and his companions. Dear listeners, Salamun Alaikum. In regarding to the Week of Unity, you choose your program, The Call of Unity. Congratulations on birthday of Prophet of Mercy, the last messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny. Step by step, we follow today's program as speech, biography, and different viewpoints about Islam and the unity among Muslims. This program is presented to you from Iran. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, states, "In their love, kindness, and compassion for each other, the believers are like a human body. When one part of it is hurt, the rest sympathizes with it in wakefulness and fever."
I think nowadays the Muslims are unit and they have unity.
Why Muslims separated? Because some of the lack of, political thinking.
With the current system fighting, anti-religion, anti-divine teachings, we as Muslims, Sunni, Shia, all Muslims, we need each other, to stand up and fight this system.
And especially the enemies of Islam. The Zionist or the anti-Muslim forces show that Muslims have some sectarian conflicts like Al-Tashayyu and Al-Sunnat. And if you see, then there are many things which are same between the Sunnis and Muslims, Sunnis and Shias. Like we have one Allah, one Rasul, our Rabbarin, Imam, are one.
Also, they are followers. Also, different people, people who doesn't know about his name, they disunite.
Ayatollah Khamenei, Ayatollah Sistani, and other Maraji Taqlid gave fatwa that the use of products of Israel is haram. Why they give that fatwa? It's only for the unity of Muslims. Like they are, like Zionists are killing the Muslims. Which Muslims? Sunni Muslims in Gaza. But who gave that fatwa? Only Tashayyu Maraj Azam.
So political thinking is very important to all Muslims.
There are just some forces which shows that differences, which shows or try to create the differences among the Muslims. Hamas is Ahl-e-Sunnat force, but Iran is an Ahl-e-Tashayyu or Muslim. First of all, it is Muslim country without all any respect of sect. After that, it is Tashayyu country. And we see the Ahl-e-Tashayyu is most all over the world helping the Hamas, or Hezbollah is helping the Hamas. Our Maraj-e-Azam like Ayatollah Khamenei, Ayatollah Sistani, and other Maraji Taqlid gave fatwa.
Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, practiced what he preached. He brought about the greatest revolution in the history of mankind. Now the Islamic world should notice on the importance of the unity. Our purpose as Muslims is moral and spiritual. Our purpose is to please Allah, to work for the advancement of His religion in this world. Our goal is to achieve ultimate success and salvation in the hereafter. There is no better reason to be united than this. When people of the diverse backgrounds and cultures become united for one purpose, they achieve progress and success. One of these successes is security. Security among Muslims that leads the security of the world. When Muslims are the best followers of Quran, they know the Holy Book says, "Indeed, the believers are brethren to each other." Chapter Al-Hujurat, verse 49. So they avoid any dispute, war, and conflict with each other. Let's listen to more. Hujjatul Islam Bharati, scholar of Islam and security, after unity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters in Islam and Iman, I like to take advantage of this opportunity and send my heartly greetings to you because of this very prosperous opportunity and occasion of birth of our Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, messenger of God and the Prophet of light, of love and brotherhood and mercy to the whole world. This is a very good occasion for us and a very happy birth and happy celebration for every Muslim and even for all deprived people and all people who are suppressed by aggressors and tyrannic powers. So this is a great hope for them. This is a great opportunity for them to be unified, to be encouraged, to rise and to take their rights and demand for equal rights and human dignity. We were talking about Islamic unity in the program of Call of Unity, and we reached to the point that search for results of unity. What could be the results for Islamic unity? We counted at least three results of unity, and now we are coming to the fourth result of unity, which is world security. Islamic unity can help security for world, can bring security for world, because one of the problems and one of the challenges in this present world is security. All of the powers, even superpowers, are worried about security. Despite they are so much powerful, they have a lot of weapons, arms, and military power, but they don't feel secure. They don't have security. They are afraid. And there is a balance of terror, a balance of fear, not really security and immunity in this world. Why? Because there is no cooperation. There is no strong will for bringing security to the world. In this regard, if Muslim Ummah, Muslim nation, is unified, they can bring this security easily for the world, because you observe most of the conflicts and disturbances and riots and instabilities happens in the Islamic world. There is a challenge between superpowers upon this Islamic world. All of them, they want to have more rights, more parts, more benefits and interests in this part of the world. Because of that, directly or indirectly, they are in clash and conflict with each other upon our territories, upon our land. For example, issues like Taliban and Al-Qaeda and Saddam and also Israeli regime, all of them are problems which foreign countries, Westerners, or superpowers made for us. These are forged conflicts for us, forged and fabricated problems for us, coming from abroad, from outside of our territory, our Islamic world.
لا إله إلا الله
if we were unified, we could stop them easily. We could prevent them from making these problems for us. But unfortunately, they try more and more, and every day make new plots, new conspiracies, like Taliban in Afghanistan or in Pakistan, like Al-Qaeda, even in North Africa, in Iraq, in everywhere, terrors and conflicts and riots. All of them should be considered beside and added to other problems like poverty, like illiteracy, and lack of hygiene and health, and inequality in taking advantage of scientific progress, civilization, modern civilization. All of them are coming from abroad, is imposed upon the Islamic world from the superpowers. Why? Because Islamic ummah, Islamic nation, is like a body. This body is senseless, is defenseless, cannot defend itself. Because of that, all of the aggressors, all of the tyrannic powers, all of the insects, all of the viruses invade this body. If the body was powerful, could easily defend itself and prevent them from attacking and even approaching to this body. So wishing a better situation for Muslims, wishing a better future for Muslims, we should think about unity. Unity is a key to solve all of these problems, all of these inconveniences, all of this lack of progress and development. All of them could be solved by Islamic unity. In this regard, superpowers try to make new disputes and differences amongst the Muslim countries, Islamic nations and tribes and people here and there, like between India and Pakistan. They try to make new disturbances, new disputes and conflicts. Between Iran and Iraq, they made conflicts for many, many years. Other Muslim countries, they try to make them in dispute and in unrest and in a very unwilled and not favored disturbances and problems. So we should work in reverse and solve all of our problems inside ourselves. We have nowadays organizations like OIC, Organization of Islamic Conference, but unfortunately they are not active. They don't work very good. This organization is an intergovernmental organization, but it's not successful. In most of the problems happen for Islamic world, it is silent, or in the best cases, they only try to make some sessions or some meeting and finished. For example, Muslims in Bosnia and Herzegovina are attacked, are invaded, a lot of them are massacred, a lot of women are mistreated, a lot of houses are destroyed, but no any action from OIC, Organization of Islamic World. Iraq is invaded by America, Afghanistan is invaded by America without any reasonable evidence or reasonable cause. They are silent. So intergovernmental organizations are not active, NGOs are not active, even social figures and leaders are not active to make unity. And for sure they are responsible, because unity is a decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a discourse of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who wished for us a better life and a better dignity in our world, wishing inshallah very soon we will have this achievement of unity. And we pray to Allah in this occasion because of his Prophet, because of Prophet of Mercy, inshallah gives us and our leaders this success to bring unity for our Islamic nation.
Assalam, ya Habib. Assalam, ya Nabi.
Dear listeners, as conclusion of Mr. Barati's speech, we can get it so easily that faith and Islam unity are interrelated. People of faith are united people. The more faith they will have, the more united they will be. Dear friends, sometimes we ask Allah different things and want things. He grants us. But there are some points and want things we cannot just want Allah and immediately gain them. There will be a path, a road, you should pass it. And most of the time, it's difficult, but you should try hard. But Allah helps you. He lights lots of stars for you. They are noble people that can help you and solve a part of your problems. Be united with them.
Allah, Allah, Subhanallah, Allah, Allah.
Herald of Unity. Sayyid Musa Asad was born on the 15th of May 1928 in the famous Iranian city of Qom. He attended his primary school in his hometown and then moved to the Iranian capital, Tehran, where he got in 1956 a degree in Islamic jurisprudence. He went back in Qom, where he started to give religious lectures in the various religious institutions of the city. He also published a magazine called Maktab-e-Islam. Imam Musa Asad founded many social institutions, vocational schools, health clinics, and illiteracy obliteration centers. His activity gained an important national dimension as he warned of the danger of Israel aggressions against South Lebanon, whose majority happens to be Islamic Shiites. Imam Asad was distinguished among all of his contemporary spiritual and political leaders. He mastered many languages and was a prominent intellectual. Imam Asad played an all-important role in the Lebanese political life. Toward the end of August 1978, he mysteriously disappeared during a visit to Libya. His great works are Reflection in Islamic Political Thought, The Islamic Christian Dialect, The World of Youth, The Islamic Movement, Its Issue and Concerns, with Ahlul Bayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
What Muslims in general and Muslim youth in particular need to realize is that we have great many differences among ourselves, but the emphasis should be on the greatness and not only the difference. Additionally, stress should not be on the difference as a marker of otherness in terms of foreigners, namely someone who is an inhabitant of a hostile reign, either religiously or politically. On the contrary, the difference should be viewed along the lines proposed by Imam Musa Asad, namely as a window of cultivation. We should take each sect as a manual of becoming the city of knowledge or embarking on the path of arriving at the city of knowledge. In the old times, cities had gates, but in the global age, where the physical gates have disappeared, we should not imprison our spirits by the mental walls, but turn them into the intellectual windows. And more importantly, for the purpose of a struggle against current neo-colonialism, avoid any notion of denominational war. As he said in his speech, in fact, love of Allah occupied Muslim great heart and conscious in such a way that is concealed everything else from him. Even when he saw human beings, he saw Allah. When he looked at Allah's bounties, he remembered him. This bound with Allah was always present before his eyes, for it was Allah alone whom he truly loved and to whom his hope and aspiration were directed. He never allowed anyone to divert his attention from Allah. And that is the key point in Islam world. We ask Allah to purify our hearts, to brighten them with faith. May He turn our mind more towards seeking His pleasure and fill our hearts with His love, His fear, and belief in Him. May he help us according to the teaching of his book. Being one nation is a creed of hope. I say to myself, I will wait for it.
These are the days of Eid. Make takbir wherever you are. These are the days of Eid. Allahu Akbar. These are the days of Eid. Sing together, everyone. La ilaha illallah wa lillahi alhamd.
The Call of Unity is the program on the Week of Unity. You hear this station from Qom, Iran.
Eid Omad, Eid Omad, Eid Omad, Eid Omad, Eid Omad, Eid Omad.
On Chapter Al-Imran, verse 103, God the Almighty states, and hold fast all together by the rope of Allah, and be not divided among yourselves, and remember with gratitude Allah's favor on you. For you were enemies, and He united your hearts, so that by His grace you became brothers. Islamic unity is the need of hour, especially after crusading campaign against Muslim unleashed by Western governments. It is essential for the Islamic world to close ranks and coordinate efforts. When Muslims see insulting of a few groups to their holy beliefs, such as Prophet, peace be upon him and his household, or their holy book, their reaction is a necessity. Being united is the only way. Hujjatul Islam Barati, the scholar of Islam, and his speech in regarding to it.
In this part of program, we want to explain what are the results of difference, lack of unity for the Muslim Ummah, for the Muslim nation. You know, nowadays we find very bad treatment in the West and in the whole world, in some parts of the world, towards Muslims and Islam. One of them is insulting Islam, insulting Quran and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is one of the bad results of difference, disunity, lack of unity. This is one of the bad results because they find us deserving this kind of humiliation and insult. We don't have unity. We don't have awareness. We don't pay respect for ourselves and our religion. So when we don't pay respect for ourselves and for our religion, why should they respect it? They easily try to make joke of it, make fun of it, to humiliate us, to curse our prophet, to curse our religion, and to insult us in our beliefs and in our creeds. This is one of the bad results, especially in this 3-4 years, last years, you find a lot of evidences and cases of this kind of insult in form of films, cartoons, and books, and expressions and presentations of some leaders and scholars in the West. Before this time, they didn't dare to act so. Despite some of them were extremists and fanatics, and they hated Islam, but they were never daring to express it, to make it public. But our difference and dispute and lack of unity encouraged them to do so. This is one of the bad results of dispute and difference. Another one is attacking Islamic territory and Islamic countries, invading them, occupying them, like occupation of Iraq, Afghanistan, and before that, occupation of Palestine. This is result of dispute and difference and lack of unity, because they find the situation suitable for it. They find chance and opportunity to attack us while we are not aware and we are not ready to defend our land and our territory.
Allah, 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 Allah.
One of the bad results is also it is neglecting and ignoring Islamic countries in the world system, in international affairs, in international relations, in international law. There are a lot of rights for individuals and nations and governments and states, Muslim ummah and Muslim states and nations don't enjoy them. For example, human rights. Human rights became an instrument today to attack Islam and Muslims. And they are never ready to give us this human right. Only they demand us this human rights. While we are minority in their countries, they don't give us. While we are majority in our countries, they don't respect us and respect our freedom and basic rights because we are weak, because we are divided, because we are in dispute and difference. If not, everybody should enjoy this right. Human rights for everybody is good. Not human rights only for Westerners or friends of Westerners and nothing for others. Why is this? Because we have no power to defend ourselves. We have no power to demand for our rights. And lack of power is because lack of unity and because of division inside ourselves. So thank you very much for listening and being with us. We hope to meet you again. And we hope, inshallah, you enjoy a very good time in this occasion and in this celebration.
These are the days of Eid. Make takbir wherever you are. These are the days of Eid.
Allah Almighty says in verse 92 of chapter Anbiya, surely this Islam is your religion, one religion, and I am your Lord, therefore serve me. All Muslims are duty bound to find the ways of international solidarity and unity.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
We should help the vanguard of proximity, pave the ground for the progress and renewed of Muslim. Dear listeners, if you like to follow this program, The Call of Unity, please be with us on the next program tomorrow. We say congratulations on the Week of Unity and Prophet Muhammad's birthday, and goodbye.
If you ask me, why do I love you, no matter where you are, we are the greatest ummah, with the beating of our hearts, we are Muslims. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, there's no God but Allah. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, Muhammad is his messenger.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum, welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan, letter C, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll discuss the 22nd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, or Pilgrimage. Before moving on, let's just listen to some verses of this chapter, and we'll be back with you. Stay with us.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Inclining only to Allah, not associating anything with Him. And he who associates with Allah, it is as though he had fallen from the sky and was snatched by the birds, or the wind carried him down into a remote place.
The 31st verse of this chapter started talking about being true in faith for Allah. حُنَفَاءَ لِلَّهِ غَيْرَ مُشْرِكِينَ بِهِ. While being true in faith for Allah, and not associating anything with Him. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Whoever associates anything with Allah, it is as though he had fallen from heaven. فَتَخْتَفُهُ الطَّيْرُ أَوْ تَهْوِي بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ سَحِيقٍ. And the birds snatch him away, or the wind carries him off to a very far place. In the previous program, we concluded that every action being done, even in the sacred house of Allah, must be with the intention of getting closer and nigh to the Almighty Allah. Having His orders in our minds, we have to try to fulfill the Almighty Allah's orders. So, even the holiest places, which cover the holiest actions and deeds by the best of the people, in the best places, if it is not accompanied with true faith in the Almighty Allah, will result in falling from heaven. And there is no interval or distance between not being true in faith for the Almighty Allah and being taken away from Him. The verse says, فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتَخْطَفُهُ الطَّيْرُ. It is as though he has fallen from heaven and the birds rightly just afterwards snatch him away. This letter fa, it is here to tell us that there is no distance between these two. And when a person falls from this height, from heaven, he will be involved in one of these two painful fates. Either he will be prey to the birds in the middle of the way, or in other words, by losing this assured station, he will be captured by the claws of low desires and restive passions, each of which snatches and destroys a part of his entity. Or if he could escape from them safely, he will be taken by a fatal storm which throws him away, far away, in a corner so harshly that his body will be scattered and every particle of it will be thrown here and there. And this storm seems to be indirectly Satan, who always lies in ambush. Admittedly, he who falls from heaven, with the increasing speed, his body naturally loses the ability of making decision, and every moment he approaches the annihilation, and at least he won't be able to do anything, and at last he will perish.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء لي الدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qum.
So, the one who loses the station of heaven of monotheism will not be able to take therein of his fate, and the further he goes forth, the more his speed of falling increases, and finally, he will lose the whole capital of humanity. So, this is the importance of monotheism. Truly, there will not be found a parable more clear and lively than this parable for polytheism. And this matter is also noteworthy that it has been proved today that in free falling, which is dropping, man has no weight. And that is why for the space travelers, if they want to practice this state of weightlessness, usually free-falling is applied. The state of extraordinary anxiety that a person feels at the time of falling is because of this very weightlessness. So the person goes from faith towards polytheism and loses his firm support, and there he will be left in such a state of weightlessness inside his soul and body, and consequently extraordinary anxiety and worry will flow in his entity. All of these things are the output and results of not being true in faith for the Almighty Allah. Even if you are in the holiest places, even if you are doing the most righteous deeds, but you are actually not, because you are not true in your faith. So the verse states, حُنَفَاءَ لِلَّهِ غَيْرَ مُشْرِكِينَ بِهِ And this is the importance of monotheism, and this is what polytheism does to human beings. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program as well. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key. Unwind all the secrets this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, salamun alaikum. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing, where we discuss problems and questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers that you'll be listening to are mostly based on the book Children in the Quran and Sunnah, compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. And to help us, we have in our studio our guest speaker, Brother Miqdad, with a cup of coffee in his hands. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Almi of Qom. Salamun alaikum, Brother Miqdad.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, so we've been talking about, for the last few episodes, we received a question from someone, from a parent, that was asking about how they can teach their 8-year-old child about taqwa. We talked about the complications of taqwa and how to convey to children what taqwa is. We insisted on the fact that children learn mostly by practice rather than by teaching them and bombarding them with facts. The last thing that you explained in the previous episode was that it's important for children to experience the goodness of good deeds. And when we're talking about good deeds, we're talking about honesty, we're talking about supporting the weak, we're talking also about prayer, salat, we're talking about hijab. So sometimes hijab can be something very personal, or salat can be something very personal. Maybe no one will thank you for praying, but if you help the poor, you will. So there's a question of how these children are going to experience the goodness of their good deeds. And I got confused. I'm wondering, should the children experience the goodness of good deeds through the facts that we give them? Or should we set them up to receive a reward, like have them help the poor and then someone giving them a prize for it? Having this planned out from before? Or should we have them repeat the good deeds so many times that eventually they'll experience that special feeling that we're wanting them to feel?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So that's an important question, an interesting one. Let me just try and bring it back down to understanding the whole picture. So we're talking about experiencing a good deed, experiencing the goodness of a good deed. And I think it's fundamental, right? If you want a child, or if you want anybody to really do something, a lot of times it comes down to experiencing at least the effect of that good deed, or the value and the goodness of that good deed. Now, this could be salah or fasting, or it could be giving charity, it could be any of the things that we've talked about, it could be gaining knowledge, etc. Let's divide it into three. There's three fundamental experiences, or three levels of experience that we can have. The first one is a worldly one, right? Where you experience the goodness of a good deed, and that goodness is specifically a worldly, a physical one, right? So in children is when you give them a gift, okay? As they grow older, slowly, you want to ensure that you keep the worldly consequences as natural as possible, right? So rather than giving them a gift, let the effect of that good deed itself come as a positive. So for example, if they're fasting, then naturally they'll feel much healthier. Right, physical health is a natural goodness of a good deed that comes, that you experience. It's a physical benefit as well. It doesn't have, nobody has to come and give it to you. It comes with the action itself. Similarly, for example, let me give you another example that's more from our religion. For example, giving qarz, giving a
loan
to somebody without any interest on it, right? We have very strong riwayat, a very strong hadith to tell us that someone's risk increases when they give charity, when they give loans to somebody. So you can try out. If you want to become rich, try give qarz to people without any interest. And you realize that suddenly you'll be benefiting from the physical rewards of this. And this is called experiencing the goodness of a good actions. But that goodness is related to the physical world and the physical benefits.
But let's take a break so that we can then talk about things like the hijab and the salah, specifically the salah. And then we'll be back. Don't go away. It's just a short break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about how to teach our children about taqwa, and we're talking about how it's important for them to experience the goodness of good deeds. So we divided the rewards into a few types. The first one was physical or material, like when you have an increase in your provisions because you've helped others out. Let's talk about the second aspect. Specifically, I'm interested in things like how do they experience salah and hijab?
So, coming back to the first one, so you realize that certain actions, they won't have such a direct impact at the physical level. So take the example of salah, for example, right? You won't have such a direct experience of a physical benefit for that. In children, it could be done through a reward, right? But we mentioned this when we talked about salah, that you don't want to encourage salah through physical rewards, right? From time to time, it's not bad to say, like, if you pray, then we'll go to the park together, for example. Or if you come to the haram with me, we'll have an ice cream afterwards. Just in order to create a positive association with it, but not as a means to make a 2+2 equation that every time you pray, you'll have a positive physical reward, which is an ice cream or a chocolate or a gift. So this is essential. And so certain actions, or most actions, we don't want to really lead to a physical experience, right? Hijab is another one. The physical experience in hijab is not so much, okay? You don't really gain something physical from wearing the hijab. You could say perhaps you would protect yourself physically more, but somehow in today's world people might debate that point. So I don't want to go into that and say, no, perhaps you could say that wearing the hijab doesn't have any physical benefit. And I'm not saying for sure, I'm saying perhaps it's possible. When we talk about experiencing it, then you move on to the second level of experiencing the goodness of a good action, and that is related to the emotional, or to a more psychology, a more emotional,
sentimental
aspect. And so again, you find this, for example, if you give charity, if you encourage a child to give charity and you ask him afterwards, he'll tell you or she'll tell you, it felt really nice, right? Children love to help others because inside them they feel really happy that they've helped somebody, right? So this is a physical experience. So if you want to encourage or build a habit or lead a child towards taqwa, one of the ways they experience this is through the emotional aspect of it. A lot of the actions are related to this. So for example, one of the things that we need to really encourage is the emotional aspect towards salah. Right, sometimes we pray and there's a very strong emotional connection to that as well. It brings about a couple of tears in your eyes. If it's done very well, even children as young as 7, 8 can be really felt emotional when they do sajda, for example, say thank you to Allah. Right? Imagine they have a very wonderful day, and at the end, you say, no, you know, wherever you went through, it was a blessing from Allah. Why don't you go into sajda and say thank you to Allah, or pray two rakah namaz and say thank you.